Hi, everybody. A little bit about Fundamentally Children. We are a research agency specialising in child development and play. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's Fundamentally HQ. So, Gaming Grannies is the rather funky CMC title we give it. It's a piece of research we did looking at intergenerational play between grandparents and their grandchildren using connected toys. So how has tech and digital play changed over the last few decades? Well, those of you who are sort of my age remember in the 70s, it was all around a TV screen. I remember the huge excitement when we got our first big computer, a chunky Acorn Electron it was in the middle of the dining room, and the graphics and everything like that just seemed so basic when you compare it with what we have now. The 90s was really the start of the proper gaming industry. I was lucky enough, my dad used to sell toys, and he came home with the first Pac-Man and the Astro Wars, and me and my brother got to test it out. So I've been testing toys and stuff for quite a while. But the sort of the graphics in Sims, if you look back at that now with the Sims 4 and stuff that's out these days, again, even 20 years ago, it seems quite retro and quite, quite pedestrian. Kids today have mobile, high-tech graphics in the palm of their hand available to them pretty much constantly. And that is a massive change in such a small period of time. So things really have changed. So one of the reasons that we wanted to do this research was to look at what's that doing to the time that kids spend with their grandparents. And one of the motivators for that was because grandparents are increasingly involved in children's childcare, increasingly involved in their lives. And it's such an important relationship for children and grandparents. It keeps the grandparents young, and it helps the children with their emotional, social development. It helps them feel anchored and that sense of belonging that is so important to their mental health. So we wanted to make sure that we sort of understood what the changes to tech have done to that interaction and that relationship. So that's the kind of motivation for us doing this. We looked at grandparents' attitudes to technology and gaming. And again, that's changed a lot because people are becoming grandparents who have been involved with technology. My parents are still my parents are in their 70s now. My mum is quite adept at everything. She's got an iPad. She's on WhatsApp family groups and all of that. My dad still thinks that email's a bit newfangled. So there's a big discrepancy between the attitudes of the older generation when it comes to technology. But I think it's really important to try and drill down into that and understand. Less than half the grandparents actually enjoyed playing digital games with their grandchildren, and that's something that we'll explore a little bit later. But the smart toys seem to be in a kind of a sweet spot because it's cool enough for the kids to want to play because it's digital and it's connected. But the physical element of it is something that grandparents find reassuring. And one of the attitudinal surveys that we found with grandparents is that they feel like kids are spending too long on their screens, more so than the parents do. And the grandparents are reluctant to participate in that or encourage it. So a lot of the grandparents feel like when the kids come to the grandparents' house, it's time for the more traditional play activities, and they want to engage with the kids, but they find that screen-based play is quite solitary and antisocial. So in terms of the confidence and the enjoyment, they're quite strongly correlated. Those grandparents that felt that they were confident using technology, they enjoyed doing it as well. So it's not that there's something inherently boring or problematic about technology. We feel like the confidence level is quite a big factor in that. But if you look at their attitudes towards the smart toys, they are keen to try new things. They are more keen to try new things if it's going to enhance their relationship with their grandchildren. That's the main kind of motivating factor for them experimenting and being open to learning new technology. We did some surveys of the grandchildren and grandparents and grandchildren, and then we did some one-on-one research as well. The grandparents' attitudes were were mixed, and it depended on, we'd like to do some more and dig down into that a bit more and look at the age differences of the grandparents, because we surveyed grandparents across quite a wide age range. The older grandparents often were a bit more reluctant to it, but the younger grandparents, and obviously as people my age are sort of getting older, our kids are growing up, and we look at becoming grandparents in the next 10, 20 years or so. Having grown up with tech, we're more likely to be, much more engaged with the technology, or the technology itself won't be the barrier, it'll be the type of play it facilitates. The grandparents, some of the grandparents really did consider them to be quite engaged users of technology, and one of the things that we've picked up is that the younger grandparents were more likely to own more technology, so they had more access to it. However, there was quite a few of the barriers to the children playing with their grandparents on digital games, mainly because a lot of the childcare happens at the grandparents' house, and the grandparents are unlikely to have their own games consoles. The grandparents also had some issues around the kind of feeling comfortable and confident with games consoles and controllers, and the mobile devices, again, the kind of the usability aspect was seen as a bit of a barrier. Even grandparents who aren't very comfortable using technology on its own do seem to feel that the presence of a smart toy would bridge the gap a little bit. So we looked at the Beast of Balance game. Those of you who don't, I'll show you that in a second, actually. I'll come on to that. Just in terms of the research and the opportunity for you guys, if you've got developers here, the grandparent market is massive. There is an awful lot of money in it, and they are very generous, tend to be, with their grandchildren. So if we can make, if we can hit stuff in the sweet spot and get grandparents engaged with the digital connective toys, there is money to be made in this market. So the game we used when we were doing the research was this Beast of Balance game. For those of you who don't know it, there's an app, it creates a world, and the physical aspect is building a balancing tower. It's actually a really fun game. For those of you who don't know much about Fundamentally Children, we run the Good App Guide and the Good Toy Guide as well, so that's one of the products that we've tested and approved. So there is an opportunity here, I think, for you guys to really cater to a new audience. If we can make the product appeal to the kids, again, we found with the research the grandparents were led by the kids, so they were following the children's interests, so it has to have that appeal to the kids first. That has to be the primary driver, but it also has to have that accessibility. It needs to appeal to the grandparents as well and be something that they feel happy and comfortable engaging with. I think what's appealing about this kind of game for the grandparents and grandchildren is that combination of the physical and the digital element. So it's the best of both worlds. So we did some in-depth one-to-one interviews. And we looked at how the parents and the grandparents reported playing. The familiar setup, which the grandparents compared to a board game, was seen as accessible, was easier for the grandparents to join in, regardless of how available how confident they were with the technology. The grandparents tended to read the rules in the box, so the paper-based rules, whereas the grandchildren would get their rules from the screen. One of the grandfathers explained that when you see it collapse, everyone enjoys that. It's the bit of the fun. You can create the noise, make the iPad move. They can do all of that, but it's not the same if you don't do it physically. You know, you can see it and touch it. So I think it's a really that physical element is really quite important to the grandparents. Although the children tended to take over most of the building, that's not seen as that. We didn't interpret that as a bad thing. Actually, that's what tends to happen in grandparent-grandchild play. And what we saw here was a bit of a role reversal as well. So although the grandparents were always sort of encouraging the kids to do the building, they were sort of scaffolding the children's development and providing them with that support. They were also, at some points, when the kids were accessing the digital side of things, the roles were reversed and the children were taking the lead and explaining things to the grandparents. And that's a new dynamic when you're looking at that relationship, and it's actually quite one that I'd like to explore a bit further. One grandmother commented that that shared sensory experience makes the game feel more active and social. It's a much better solution than just sitting in front of a tablet. So it's that kind of social interaction, the emotional connection, the making the memories, the bonding, all of that sort of stuff that is so, so valuable to the grandparents. That's what they do. There was one of the grandparents that we interviewed. She walked into the room in a walking stick, but was telling us about how she would go and stand in goal and play football with her grandson because that's what he wanted to do. And she was so desperate to be a part of his world and be a part of his life that even though she had mobility problems, that was, you know, she was prepared to do that. And she wasn't looking for sympathy when she said that. That was just how she did it. And I think it's the same sort of thing with the digital stuff. Grandparents are so keen to be involved and be relatable with their grandchildren that they're prepared to give this stuff a go. And connected toys does seem to be that gap, that bridge across the digital divide. So we use this as a game we tested, but there's quite a few of the design principles apply across any sort of toy. So I wanted to just go through a look at that. So grandparents find tactile controls with familiar actions easier to learn and use. So that games console with a funny joystick, and you know, I feel quite old sometimes when my kids give me those things. And so the kind of the more intuitive, more basic controls are more preferable. And iPad kind of digital swiping stuff, when they're already familiar with the iPad, possibly more accessible than games consoles. The previous research, not done by us, but showing that controllers can be a barrier for the older players. But the grandparents really like the touchy-feely, the physical controls that they can get hold of. The grandmother doesn't really use the screen to play here. She's concentrating on building the blocks. But she's still joining in and engaging with the grandchild by sort of helping, passing her the right blocks and helping her with it. A good example of tactile controls is the tennis game on the Nintendo Wii. The player can move the control like a tennis racket. That kind of stuff is seen as more accessible. But grandparents are more likely to engage with the digital game that they can just play naturally rather than the kind of the joystick and the thumbstick. The next one is the instructions. As I said, the grandparents would read the paper version. The grandkids were looking on the screen. I don't know about you guys, but all the kids I know haven't read an instruction booklet since they learned how to use YouTube, because they just go on there for all their instructions. So making sure that the instructions for these types of products are accessible by both the older generation and the younger generation, and including sort of accessibility issues, so possibly bigger type, audio instructions, and that obviously one of my passions is making products as inclusive and as accessible as possible. So, you know, thinking about audio instructions, thinking about pictorial instructions. Well, I'm not talking IKEA manuals, but, you know, something that is available for pre-literate children, for visually impaired grandparents, and anybody with, you know, sensory difficulties as well. So I think there's something to be done around the onboarding and the instructions that's really important in terms of making this successful. Creating a sort of purposeful multiplayer game so that everybody has a role is really important. So Beast of Balance is a cooperative game, but we tended to find that the grandchildren took over most of the building and the grandparents were there in very much a supportive role. You can see in the photo the grandparents sort of cheating slightly by holding the tower in the place while the grandchild adds another block. We feel like it would be nice if we're advising people on designing this sort of thing, be nice for grandparents to have a more purposeful role in the play like this, not just be the supportive element. And again, that's the same with intergenerational play or older sibling, younger sibling play. Whenever you're creating games for children of different ages or different generations, it's really nice to see that there's bespoke roles for everybody rather than the game being aimed at one person and everybody and the other people playing the supporting role. It's clear. So, for example, that grandmother we were talking about, It's clear that there was a value in her being the goalie because the boy couldn't play football on his own. It's a bit of a boring game, shooting at an empty goal. I'm giving that, even if it's not an equal role, it has a, you know, feeling valued and having a purpose, I think would enhance the engagement. Something like a cooperative game that emphasises each player's skill set, or a competitive game that uses player balancing or handicapping, you know, they could work so that you've got that competitive level playing field. So expanding the idea of player balancing, adaptable settings can help make the game enjoyable and accessible for different skills and needs. I think technology offers the perfect solution to create a game that two generations can enjoy playing together. While they both feel that the level of challenge is right for them, but they could this could be a setting that the players choose, like putting up sides when you go bowling, or something more dynamic that suits the player's gaming style as they play. So I think there's accessibility by design would also improve the game's appeal to the grandparents, as well as making it more widely accessible to children. Children who are learning to read and grandparents who need their glasses, like I said earlier, would appreciate the larger or more simple fonts and the audio description. And then the type of gameplay. We found that the grandparents were reluctant to engage in violent gameplay and the racing car games, sort of the kind of full-on high adrenaline racing games. So in the same way that kids adapt and play differently when they're at home, in the playground, at school, with their friends, with their grandparents, the kind of cooperative, puzzle-based, collaborative kind of gameplay seemed to be the most desirable for the grandparents. But it's important that it's not boring and it's not repetitive. Puzzle and strategy games such as Candy Crush, where they take turns, or Civilization, where they work together, maybe, I think, the most successful, but we want to carry out a bit more research to dig into that a bit deeper. So we saw at the beginning, playtime has changed normally over the last generations, and here's just a few kind of takeaways from the session. Grandparents are increasingly likely to join in with digital gaming. They're more familiar with technology, so it's become less of a barrier. But the emphasis on it is the grandparents' willingness or desire to just be involved and relatable to their children. So they want to be, they want to spend that quality time together, and they're prepared to make quite a lot of compromises in order to do that. And this is where we feel that smart toys may well be a really good compromise or a really good solution to provide that interaction where kids are going, yes, I want to play that, it's fun, it's cool, it's digital, it's techie, and grandparents are feeling confident and that it's enough of a traditional feature in it to for them to feel like they're still kind of engaging positively, and you get that social interaction. I think if we can make sure that we have the appeal to both, with the focus on it being the kids led, so making sure that it appeals to the kids first, but has that approval by the grandparents, I think that's going to be key to any successful accessible games and this sort of thing. If you want the full research paper, it's there. I can I think slides are being made available later on, but some of the references that we've used, there's a growing body of research in this area. I still think there's quite a lot of work to do, partly because of the increasingly involved roles that grandparents and older adults are playing in children's lives, but also because of that kind of the evolution of children's play into the tech space, and I think we need to look at how that impacts on their different relationships. This is us. If you have any questions, do email me. I'm happy to share the link to the research. Has anybody got any questions?
Is voice technology going to accelerate that? Because that's clearly available to
anybody speak.
Yeah, I think the voice technology it helps because with the accessibility, so you get rid of any visual or literacy or even kind of reading level issues, so it does make it all accessible, but and I think it's seen as more social, so I would imagine that grandparents will be more receptive to that because it's less solitary and on a screen base. So yeah, I would imagine that voice technology will enhance that kind of experience.
Did you get a sense from
speaking to people and from the research that the market for grandparents and grandchildren is sort of ripe and ready for games specifically targeted at them? Or would you at this stage still advise that a broader intergenerational game is maybe more appealing with grandparents being a part of a marketing rather than exclusive design?
I'd say the first one. I think we're still... I think because the grandparents are led by the child's preferences and interests and choices, so I think, yeah, you design for the children. And it's the same when you're designing for a special needs market, I guess. Design for the mass market and just increase the inclusivity and accessibility. And so you have the different niche markets in mind, and it would be the same that you would almost count grandparents as a niche market. And so you look at what you can do to the design of the game that you're aiming at the kids to just widen the appeal and remove barriers, I think, probably.
Nice, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you very much. There we go.